Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Indeed, today is the day, and I don't know if you have made your Mother's Day plans or sent your Mother's Day card or bought your Mother's Day flowers, but if you were not yet aware, this is Mother's Day weekend, and we have some expectations. So Mother's Day is upon us. This is also graduation season, and yes, I also know it's fishing opener in the state of Minnesota. So we have a lot of listeners in Minnesota, so this is... I'm going to do a mashup here of Mother's Day, graduation, and fishing opener. So here's the big question. Do you have your license to fish? And for those of you who have wondered, is Carmen actually able to bring the mind of Christ to bear on absolutely everything that concerns me in my heart and in my life? The answer to your question is yes. So your text, in terms of having a license to fish, your text comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that would be Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So that's your license to fish. You and I, as Christians, are fishers of men. Now, sometimes I then amend that to remind people that we are not to dress like bait. But that's kind of another conversation for another day. But it is something that your mother would tell you, which gives us a good segue to Mother's Day. Okay, so this weekend is Mother's Day. I have the best mashup of a Mother's Day graduation story that I could find. Here it is. I found it on thegoodnewsnetwork.org, but it's actually been reported across the country because the video went viral. So a mom was graduating from college at Ferris State University, and her son was also graduating on the same day from Central Michigan University. So she skipped her own graduation to watch her son walk across the stage, which, of course, every mother out there is saying to herself right now, of course, because your work that you've invested over the lifetime of that child is absolutely, you're going to get your payoff when he walks across the stage. So rather than attend her own graduation ceremony, Sharonda opted to see her son walk across the stage at Central Michigan University. Well, Central Michigan University president, Dr. Robert Davies, heard about this act of devotion and contacted her university and asked to confer her degree on behalf of FSU, this Ferris State University. So the video went viral when Central Michigan posted it on their Twitter account. Stefan graduated, and then at the same time, the president turned and conferred the degree on behalf of FSU on his mom. And so they are in this video together. The Detroit Free Press has published this as well. And so this is a great mashup of Mother's Day and graduation and a good segue into my conversation with Bill English, who is in the house to talk about commencement. And if you had the opportunity to give a commencement address, what would you say? What would you speak into what wisdom would you speak into the lives of graduates this year? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Welcome back. This is Mornings with Carmen. My in-studio guest is Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com.
Where did you come up with that? How do you come up with those things?
I don't come up with those things. I just, you know, if you saturate your life in the Word of God, then pretty much it comes out. When, like, any storyline, any headline, you know, pops across, people say stuff and you're like, ooh, there's some Bible related to that. It's not always the most accurate application of a verse or of a story, and I recognize that. But, you know, sometimes we have to have a little fun and a little humor, and people need to know that we can bring the Bible to bear on something, even, hey, even business, right?
Yes, and by the way, for those, we were, during the break, we were joking about fish being nocturnal. And Carmen,
but we weren't joking. Matt has apparently told his children that fish are nocturnal.
Yeah, but Matt is abusing his kids by lying to them, right? So Carmen is sitting here saying, yeah, well, I know a story in the Bible about how the fish didn't bite all night, and then in the morning they jumped into this net, right? And I'm like, well, how do you come up with this? Where does this come from? So anyways.
Bible, man. All right. So let's talk about kids and what we ought to be telling kids today. This is graduation season.
Yeah.
Graduation season. And so I ask you to think, about if you were giving a commencement address to high school students, what would you say?
Well, first of all, I'd say don't go to college right away. I would say take a year or two and invest it in missions and learning the Bible more thoroughly and plugging into the Lord. College can wait, in my estimation. And I'm a little biased on this because both my kids have done this. But you don't have to run to college right away. You don't have to run to trade school right away. This is the time of your life when you have the least amount of responsibility and the most amount of opportunity. And it seems to me that you can go and do mission work for a year or do some kind of discipleship training for a year, and you will be a much better adult and person as a result of doing that. That would be the first thing I would say to every high schooler coming out of high school.
Do you have a bias toward where people might spend that year?
I do, yes, because you're reading my notes. Youth with a mission. Youth with a mission. Now, my son so they have a discipleship training school where it's 3 months of discipleship training and 2 months of mission work. And so my son did his in Belize, his discipleship training in Belize, and then did his mission work in Paraguay. My daughter is doing her, she's right now doing it, and she's doing her discipleship training in New Zealand. And right now, as we speak, is in Papua New Guinea doing mission work. And so I wish you could see my hands. They're very close together. When my kids went away, they had this much, let's say 2 out of 10 maturity. And when David came back from his discipleship training, he had 6, 7 out of 10 maturity. This thing just draws them to the Lord. The thing that YWAM teaches young people is faith. And I don't know of any other organization that teaches faith the way YWAM does. Our churches certainly don't. And so it just seems to me that I really highly encourage taking 1 or 2 gap years, going with YWAM. You not only see the world, but you learn to see God.
I love that. Okay, and so the $50, $60, $70, $80, $100,000 that we might spend sending a kid to college when they aren't quite ready to do that and don't have the kind of maturity is just really extraordinary, first of all. And what I'm going to invest as a parent in a child taking a gap year and doing the kind of thing you're talking about, the cost of it is going to be dramatically less, and the value of it is going to be so much dramatically more. So I love that. All right. How about, I had a conversation recently, Bill, on the program with a couple of guys, I'm trying to remember their names, Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills. They co-authored a book called A Different College Experience, Following Christ in College.
Right.
And if I were going to recommend one book to graduating seniors, from high school in particular, people who are preparing for college, even if it's a gap year away, this is the book they need, because you are right when you talk about all of the challenges that young people are going to face when they leave home for the first time.
Yeah, they're going to have a temptation to leave their faith. We know that 60% of young people who come out of high school who are Christians give up their faith in college. They just completely abandon it. And that's from the books You Lost Me and Unchristian, both of them by Kinnaman. And so we also know that they are going to go into heavily into debt, most of them. They're going to go $40,000, $60,000, $80,000 into debt for a bachelor's degree. And I strongly recommend that people not do that. It's not worth it. There are ways to get your degree without having so much debt. And those two things are going to, those are going to be two temptations that high schoolers are going to face when they graduate.
Okay, so when we come back, I want you to give a quick message to high school parents, and then we want to turn toward college graduates and speak into their lives as well. My conversation partner is Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. We are talking about what would you say? What should you say? What will you say? What are you going to say to high school and college graduates during this graduation season? That's up next. You're on Mornings with Carmen. Okay, so it's graduation season. Kids are graduating from high school. They are graduating from college. And Bill English is here to speak not only into their lives, but into the lives of those of us who are adults. So, Bill, what wisdom do you have to share? What would you say to high school parents, parents of graduating seniors?
Yeah, the one thing I would really encourage them to do is to think through a blessing for their high school graduating senior. And take time to give them their formal blessing. So go to your high schooler, think through how you want to bless them, and then do it. There's ample evidence and examples in the Old Testament of how this happens. I take it seriously. I've blessed my son. I have not had a chance to bless my daughter yet. It is something that it will stay with them for life. It is spiritual, and it is irrevocable in my estimation, even though that's my opinion. That's not scripture. So bless them. Give them your blessing.
Okay, I love that. I totally love that.
I do too.
Okay. So we might have to circle back around and do a whole segment on what do those sound like and what those look like.
Yeah.
That would be really fun. Okay, yeah. So now let's talk to kids who are kids. Let's speak to young adults who are graduating from college.
Yeah. So what do you do if you're graduating from college? I almost the same but a little bit different. If you're debt free, take a gap year and go invest it in missions and learning the Bible. If you got debt, then get a job and get the debt paid off. If you're noticing, I'm a guy who doesn't like to see young people in debt because it limits what God can do with them moving forward. I know of a young couple right now that graduated from a very prestigious university, and he came out with $55,000 of debt, and he's having to raise money to be in a ministry. But part of that money has to go to paying off his debts before he can actually join the mission full time and do what God has called him to do. To me, it just seems like you got to figure out how to get rid of the debt and how to be debt free as much as possible, especially if you're going into ministry. And then secondly, I would say look at the next 10 years, establish a few goals, write them down, and make at least one of those goals about how you're going to draw closer to God and make it actionable and somewhat measurable. And the third thing I would say to those coming out of college is find a mentor right away. Don't think that you know it all because you don't. And find a mentor, somebody who can speak truth, who's ahead of you, older than you, and will invest in your personal development either as much as your professional development or maybe even more than your professional development. Find somebody you admire. Ask them to speak into your life for 2 or 3 years.
I'm seeing increasingly, you know, young people who are interested in having a mentor. And maybe that's because I'm now old enough for them to think I have something of value to say. But I do feel like, and maybe that's true. Maybe there does need to be a distance between, a significant distance between, you know, the lived experience of the person graduating and the person mentoring them. So when you think about the concept of a mentor, what sort of attributes am I looking for, and how do I ask somebody to mentor me? Do I just say, "Will you mentor me?"
I think you talk to them about it. You have a cup of coffee, and maybe it's several coffees that you have with them, and you frame up how you want to grow, and they frame up how they would work with you, and then you start to kind of work the plan. But it's not just working the plan. It's the chemistry between the two people that really is going to make it work. And so you want to choose somebody who's ahead of you because you want to learn to be like them. This is kind of an Elisha type thing, right? Where Elisha over time learns how to be like Elijah simply by being with him. And so it just seems to me that you look for somebody who has some things that you don't have, and you want to be like them, and then you go and you mentor them, or you become mentored by them, I should say.
So there's people listening right now, Bill, who are thinking to themselves, hey, I remember that conversation that Carmen had with Kara Powell about that new book. What was that new book? It's called Growing With. And in it, she talks about withing. And
withing.
Yeah, withing. Okay. And so that's what you've just described, that discipleship is much more about withing than it is about, you know, me sort of propositionally teaching you things.
Yeah.
That I am the curriculum that you are interested in. And that's what discipleship really is. The people spent time with the person who they wanted to become like. And it's that impressing of one life upon another life. It's that life-on-life discipleship, for those of us who are old enough to remember that way of expressing it. But this withing is really important. And I think that particularly in a culture where we spend so much time apart and in our own little isolated worlds of social media, encouraging adults to offer themselves up, be present, and recognize that young people graduating from high school, graduating from college, and everybody else in that age group, they actually just need us to be available to be with them so that they can be with us and they can actually see what a mature Christian looks like in the workplace, at home, and out in the culture.
You know, if you're a young person and you're struggling with, I'm just going to say you're struggling with pornography, then you need to be with somebody who has struggled with it and overcome it. Mm. If you're a young person who wants to learn how to save and invest for the future and you have no money, then you need to be with somebody who had no money and learned how to save and invest for the future. If you're somebody who wants to learn how to pray and you feel like your prayers are kind of anemic, then you need to be with somebody who used to pray anemically and now pray with power. You know, you need to find somebody who is ahead of you. That's what I mean by that phrase, who's ahead of you and can take you to the next level.
I love that. And I think when we're talking about being ahead, there are lots of ways of describing that. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's a person who's a little bit ahead of you in life. It's a person who's a little bit ahead of you in faith. It's a person maybe who's a little bit ahead of you in your chosen vocation. Certainly a person who is ahead of you in terms of their own life of discipleship and their maturation of faith. So I love that. Okay, Bill, I want you to speak a word to the parents of graduating college seniors.
Yeah, they got to let go. Their parenting job is done. Continue to love your kids as God loves us, which is unconditionally. Your young people are going to make mistakes. They're going to make choices you don't agree with. You know what? It's time to keep your mouth shut and just and let them live their lives and love them. They're adults now. Treat them as such. And take your empty nester years and ask God, what does he want you to do and who does he want you to become to help build the kingdom before you pass and go on home to heaven to be with him? So these meddling parents in the lives of their 20-somethings and 30-somethings kids is something that usually drives a wedge within the family. And my advice is, once they're out of college, let them go. They're on their own.
I think this is another point in time, maybe for people that missed that blessing opportunity at high school graduation, right? So, you know, if you missed that and you've already got college kids and you're like, oh, I missed that opportunity to bless them when they graduated from high school, it's not too late.
No, it's not too late.
Yeah, you can do that blessing really at any point in time along the way, and actually at multiple points along their life's journey. So it's never too early to bless your child. It's also never too late to bless them. And so we want to encourage everybody to consider what's the blessing that you want to give. And actually, you know, for older adults who are listening today, before you go home to the Father's house, be sure that you have blessed your children and really extended to them the spiritual blessing. One life to another, one believer to another, because that's a precious gift as well, and we never outgrow that. All right, Bill, we got 1 minute for you to talk to prospective employers. You can probably talk to prospective employers in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know, because I've hired a number of kids out of college, and I've learned that no matter how well they did in college, they got to get trained for their jobs. So prospective employers, plan on training them extensively for their first full-time career job. Don't assume that their degree prepared them for your specific job. And then I would also advise to take somebody on staff and give that new young person, the older person, as a type of mentor who can help them grow. Or you, the owner or the manager, be the mentor to them. it is amazing to me, and Carmen, I'll just say this from a networking perspective. I'm 58. the more that I'd spend time with professionals in my industry who are in their 30s, the more they start to refer to me and the more they come to me and say, hey, Bill, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Age does not have to be a barrier to professional growth, not only for them, but for me. I've learned a ton from these young people, and they're smart and they're good. And God has used them in my life. And I'll just say, whenever you mentor, it goes both ways. You'll learn as much as you give.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Bill English from BibleInBusiness.com. Thank you so much for speaking into our lives today.
You bet, Carmen. You have a good, good day.
Thank you. You too. Let's jump to a break and then to Breakpoint. All right. I want you to imagine for a moment that you don't have a Bible. At all. You don't have a Bible. Or you don't have a Bible in your language. Or there are Bibles and they're in your language, but you don't read. But you do have a cell phone. Can you have the Bible? Can you have the Bible in a form where, in a format of digital media, in an animated storytelling narrative fashion, where the Bible in your language appears not only in your hand but makes its way into your heart? I want you to imagine an app like that. Well, that's iBible, and its creator, Steve Cleary, is up next to talk about it. Indeed, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it is also my joy to share with you each and every day here on this program. And we love to see each other face-to-face as well, and so there are some live opportunities for you to engage with my other hosts here on the Faith Radio Network. Susie Larson is going to be doing a live event on the campus of the University of Northwestern St. Paul on May the 16th at 7 p.m. And my colleague Bill Arnold is going to be doing live events in both Fargo and Sioux Falls, Fargo on May 31st, Sioux Falls on June the 1st. All the information and tickets for all of those events are available at myfaithradio.com.
If you or one of your kids has ever played on a sports team, then you know how much work this recreational activity can be. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. In a way, raising a family is a lot like training for a sport. You have to get up early for practice, you go through the same grueling workout every day, and by the end, you feel mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted. Now, don't get me wrong. Kids can lead to some of the most joyful moments in life. But you're training for the win, for the victory on the other side of the test. And hardship is a part of the package deal. So if your son or daughter is struggling right now, don't back down. This is exactly what you've been training for.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at ParentingTodaysTeens.org. Or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Hey, while you are searching in your favorite app store, I am going to encourage you today to check out iBible, and you can do so at iBible.net. That's actually the subject of my conversation right now with Steve Cleary. You recognize his name. He is the producer of Pilgrim's Progress, and we had him on to talk about the Pilgrim's Progress movie, Pilgrims.movie, if you want to check that out online as well. Steve, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning. Thank you, Carmen.
So let's start with, we love the film. We went and saw it in theaters, completely sold out. People loved it. The people around us loved it. And it was a wonderful opportunity to engage in conversations with young and old. So I just love a quick update. How has it been received? Where are folks still seeing it? What was the feedback? We just really like a follow-up.
You know, it was an exciting road to bring it to theaters. The challenge we had is exactly what you said. We sold out theaters, and we told the distributors this would probably happen. We talked to some of the major theater chains, but you know, as an independent film, it's very hard to really push that envelope very much. And we tried to get a lot more theaters. We tried to get more dates, and we just weren't able to do it. And I don't think it's that they didn't you know, support a Christian movie, because they do support a lot of faith-based films. I think it's just that you're not a big studio, you're independent, you know, you talk about a mission film, you're distributing it for free, and we didn't fit the model. So we were very thankful for the two dates we got. We really expected to get three or four more dates. We didn't. And so we left a lot of people wanting to see the movie, and the feedback was incredible. And really, that was my biggest concern. I mean, people asked me, how did it do? You know, how did it do financially? And I said, my first concern was not how it did financially. My first concern was, did people like the film? You know, this is 5 years of my life into this film. Are people receiving it? Do they get the message? And the feedback was incredible. I mean, I still have not caught up on my emails, and I can't even check my emails. I get hundreds and hundreds of requests to show it and to reshow it in churches. And that's really what we're excited about now. We said, look, we were always a mission film. That was our goal. That was our path. The theater was great, but that was not an end game. That was really just an opportunity to kind of bring it to the U.S. in a big way. And now we're looking at going to churches. We have a short 30-day window that we just have to wait and sit tight. And that's our deal with the theater chains. And then we're full blast all summer, allowing people to air this everywhere they want, in churches, for missions around the world. We're busy with new languages. We're already in production in 12 languages. We're already airing in Iran. We're already being downloaded in Farsi in the Middle East, getting ready to do a launch in Korea and all through South America. So, yeah, we are extremely excited about the response to the film. It truly, for me as a filmmaker, it's truly humbling how people have enjoyed it.
Okay, so let's remind people they can go to pilgrims.movie. If they go there, can they get information about how to air it in their church?
Not yet. Okay. So I get tons of people asking me. You can contact us. Definitely, we'll get back to you. The good news is we will have everything up and live in the next 2 weeks. And the good news is we want to say yes to everybody. Because most of the emails that come in now, people say, I'd like to do this. Can I do that? I'd like to do this. Can I do that? And I've always told my team that the answer is always yes. Now just figure out how that works.
Yeah.
And we love saying yes. We love saying. And so the requests are really coming in faster than we have the technology set up to service it. For instance, people want Farsi. There's people in the U.S. that know families from Iran or Afghanistan or Tajikistan that speak Farsi. And so we're setting up a system where they can download the film in high quality. You know, right now we just can't have all kinds of links going around, and we don't know which ones work, which ones are expired. So we want to set it up on a platform, because we're going to have so many other languages to watch. And that's been the fun part for me is when I write the applications for people to submit to me to use this for missions, I'm writing everything with the intent to say yes. And so I just got to figure out the best way to do that. If people say, how are you going to deliver the film to me? You know, and how are we going to, what do we put, what do we take out? What do we add? Do we add some special features? So we're really working through that now. Give us a grace of a couple more weeks. And when you visit pilgrims.movie, you're going to start seeing some buttons pop up that say, hey, show it in your church. Do you get a mission opportunity?
Yeah,
something international, what language, do you want to sponsor a language? All that stuff is coming this summer. We're extremely excited about it. We had an amazing turnout at the theater. We were the highest grossing film in across the nation for our time slots in the theaters.
I know, it was just incredible. So much fun. Okay, so I want to pivot our conversation. I know that your heart is for people around the world to know Jesus. And so I want to talk about the animated Bible series, and I want to talk about iBible. So that conversation is up next with Steve Cleary. He is the producer of Pilgrim's Progress, but he is also the genius behind iBible. And it's an app, and we're going to talk about that next. It's hard for us to imagine not having a Bible or not having a Bible in our language or not being able to read or read well enough to understand the Bible. The Bible is being brought to life through something called the Animated Bible Series, and that is a project of 52 DVD episodes covering the scope of the Bible, translated into top 100 languages around the world, and then put onto an app in order that it can be put into people's hands around the world for free. So that is iBible. And we're going to talk about iBible specifically, but I want to ask Steve, first of all, I want to ask you, why cell phones?
You know, there are so many cell phones in the world, and I've traveled to many countries, many poor countries, and I think for us to go to an app really was a revelation. It's not something I originally envisioned. One of my friends came back from India, and he was in a very poor area, and he was so excited. He had been a while since he had been on the mission field, and he was telling me about it, and he said, you know, he said, I saw all these poor kids. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have good clothing. And he goes, but they all had, and I finished his sentence, a cell phone. And he goes, yeah. He goes, they all had smartphones. We did some research in China. In these other countries, you know, you can buy cell phones for like $26. And they're smartphones. You can download apps. You can watch videos on them. There are billions of phones around the world. And that's why when we launched iBible, we compared it to the Gutenberg. So before the Gutenberg press, before the movable type press, people didn't have a Bible. You know, the scholars had them, the synagogues had them, and they were the ancient writings. They were parchments. They were animal skins. They were written upon and passed around and read from. But she didn't have a Bible because the printing press hadn't been invented. When the printing press was invented, they started the mass productions of Bibles, and still, you know, we're still printing so many Bibles a year, and they're being distributed around the world. It's still a phenomena of distributing printed Bibles, but we have reached a point, like you said earlier, that, you know, the ends of the world can't read or cannot comprehend the translation they have available to them. And not to say that the Holy Spirit can't, you know, that they can't read and the Holy Spirit can't inspire them. They just don't have the knowledge base. It'd be like giving a 6-year-old child the King James Bible and say, here, read this and tell me what it says and what it means. And so we really realized that the new frontier were cell phones, were phones that we can provide content on that phone and really reach further than you could ever reach with a print Bible. It's virtual. You can't destroy it. If you lose it, you can download it again. You can replicate it. You can, you know, cell phones can share across cell phones all day long with Bluetooth technology, and it happens overseas. We realized that was the new frontier. Printing was 500 years ago. Today, it's a cell phone.
Mm. So there are probably listeners who are thinking to themselves, isn't the Bible already available via Bible apps in various languages and translations? They may be familiar with YouVersion. They may also be familiar with like Bible sticks. I know that we have the military version of that, which is distributed to military personnel, where you can have your Bible on a stick that you can plug into something and read it. But this is different. So tell us what's different about iBible, because there really is the way that the animated Bible series is connected to this, I think is significant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are absolutely Bible apps out there. They're free to the world. I use them. YouVersion is a great example. Bible.io or IS mm-hmm. is Faith Come by Hearing. It's an audio Bible. And, you know, it is word for word Bible. You can read and you can listen to the Bible on a cell phone. And those apps have had, you know, hundreds of millions of downloads and growing every day. So it shows the significance of it. What we are doing different is two things. One is we're not putting word for word Bible text. We're not actually doing the Bible text. We're doing the Bible story. So we're doing the narrative. And that's really what God put in my heart when I started the animated Bible series. Is you can go to Google, and I'd love for your listeners to try it. Go to Google and search biblical narrative, and you'll find tons and tons and tons of references on the importance of understanding the biblical narrative, the one story of the Bible, how it all connects together. But one thing you will not find is an actual biblical narrative. Like you just can't go to Amazon and say, which biblical narrative am I going to buy today? Am I going to buy the one from this group or that group and read the story of the Bible? And if you think about it, before we had a printed Bible, when we shared the stories, that's what we shared. We shared the story of the Bible. They learned it in the synagogue, and they passed it on to their children. They passed it on to their communities. They orally repeated the stories of God. So the iBible is the narrative. It is the story of what happened. And then to break the literacy barrier and to make it interesting, even for my kids who are millennials, is we do it in animated format. And we use motion comic animation. It kind of looks like a comic book. And every single page comes to life. Mm-hmm. So the app is in prototype. People cannot download it right now. You will be able to download version 1 later this year. We, as you mentioned, we have iBible.net. We've registered. The exciting news is just yesterday, we made an arrangement with the American Bible Society. So they own the high-level domain .bible. So when you think of .com, they have .bible. And we purchased the letter I. So it's really fun. We have a one-letter domain now. And so our new website is i.bible. And it just works perfectly for the website. We have a short trailer on that website that shows what we're doing and how it works. And what we love about it is it's a book. And people interact. It's a book, but it's animated. People ask us, is this a book or a video? And I said, it's both. And when you watch it, you literally just use your finger to swipe across and turn the page, you're interacting with the app, you're turning through the chapters, you're turning through the pages of the Bible. And so you're in control, but you're also interacting with it. And you can go back and forth and you can rewatch a chapter, and we're just bringing the story of the Bible to life.
Yeah, it's like it's like a minute into the video. If people go and check it out at i.bible, a 1 minute into the video, and the whole video is only like a minute and 17 seconds, but that's actually where you can see somebody, a child, swiping their finger across. And the what I love about it is that you can see the words on the page, right? So there is also a teaching of reading going on here, and I appreciate that as well. Like, there's a literacy component to this, if you want to think about it that way. All right, Steve, you and I are going to have to leave it right there. Steve Cleary, the genius behind iBible. You can check it out at i.bible. It's one of those things that, Steve, we wanted to make people aware of so that they can be praying for you guys, and for those who are able partnering with you, they can be looking for the animated Bible series. And we are all anticipating the release of Pilgrim's Movie DVD later this year. But people can be checking out pilgrims.movie, be watching that website for the next couple of weeks if you want to host the movie in your church. And there will be resources there available to you as well to assist you in doing that. Steve Cleary, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you. God bless.
Likewise. All right. It's just so exciting. Aren't you guys excited about what God is doing through his people in the world, making his word more and more available in more and more ways to more and more people? Why? Well, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so how are we going to be purveyors of the truth into the world, into the culture that God so loves? I think increasingly it's going to be through technology. Even as I recognize that you and I are walking the Bible out into the world every single day, and you and I may be the only Bible anybody reads, putting it in their hands in this way is exciting. The possibilities here excite me. All right, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. I appreciate all the questions you guys send me via our little app here where we get text messages. So if you've got questions about what we talk about, or you've got comments, or you've got ideas, I'd love to hear them. You can always text me at 877-933-2484, even if you don't do it during the show. If you just acknowledge that it's for me, I will see it at a later point in time. You can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for engaging today. Thank you for walking the word out there into the world. All right, friends, have a great day, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.